If you want to, you can go and open your Bibles up to 1 Samuel chapter 18. But before we get to that, I have to share some of you. Last week, I kind of dropped a real teaser there on a neat prophecy thing that took place. And I made you wait until Friday's show. And some of you said, hey, we were too far away. We live up in the mountains. We couldn't hear Friday's show or whatever. And so you said, you better tell us because we almost turned on you last week. And I almost had mutiny in the sanctuary here. I could write a book, Mutiny in the Sanctuary, last week because I dropped this teaser out there. And, you know, sometimes when you're looking at prophecy, there are things you come across that really blow your mind. And I'm not going to say, when I share this with you, I'm going to share you what it was that I really kind of caught my attention here last week. There are things that come along ever so often that you read scriptures, but you either never really pay attention to them or you don't understand them because until something happens that really draws your attention to it. And, you know, the Bible says that Satan is an imitator of God. And one of the things we see prophetically that Satan does is everything that God does, he imitates it. And you can go right down the line. I mean, even when we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Bible says there's going to be an unholy trinity as well. During the Great Tribulation, Satan will take the position of the Father. The Antichrist will take the position of the Son, taking orders from the Antichrist or from the Satan himself. And the false prophet will take the position of the Holy Spirit, pointing the eyes of the people of the world to the Antichrist. And of course, the Holy Spirit points the eyes to Jesus Christ. So you can go right down the line and you see all these different things that he does. I'm not going to jump off in a whole other study as far as that goes. But one of the things that I had noticed, you know, it says in Daniel chapter 2 that God himself is in charge of the times and the seasons, that God has ordained the times and the seasons. And there's a scripture that says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, speaking of the Antichrist, it says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. He shall intend to change times and seasons and the law. Now, your Bible might just say times. Depending on what version you have there, the word is a word that actually means times and seasons and the law. And I've always read that. Satan will try to change times and seasons. You know, I know that God sets the times and the seasons. And in my mind, it's always been, you know, he's going to try to change maybe, you know, Easter or Passover or some of the things that are being celebrated during the final 7 years when he comes on the throne of the world, so to speak. Never really paid much attention to it beyond that. And that may be all it is. That may be all it is. But it was announced last week that President Obama, and he is not the Antichrist, so I do not believe that. So when I say this, guys, when I mention certain world leaders and things like that, I'm simply telling you what's going on. I believe that what's happening in the world right now through different world leaders and different people is the stage is being set for the Antichrist. So I do not believe that our president is the Antichrist. With that said, I've been noticing the stage being set. You know, the global economy, all these things are happening that we say have to happen for the Antichrist and be ready when he comes on the scene. But this was interesting to me because I read an article last week where it says that President Obama is now currently working with NASA on plans to fire a rocket into our atmosphere that will release pollution in the atmosphere and will block the Earth from the sun's rays to control global warming. That, in effect, will change the seasons as it will make April and make the spring later, summer later, and winter longer. I'm not saying that he's going to do that. I'm saying he's working on that and the technology is in place for that. And what I find interesting is the Bible says that when the Antichrist comes, he will attempt to change times and seasons. And I realized, you know what? I never took that literally. I just kind of took it as, well, maybe I did take it literally. I took it literally as, again, Easter, Passover, that kind of thing. But I never took it as the earth's seasons actually being altered. I'm not saying he's going to do that. I'm saying that was the teaser I gave you, and that was the scripture that I ran across in light of that particular passage. Now, what I find interesting, and then we'll get into what we're doing tonight. I got real sidetracked. We'll see where we go tonight. But what I find interesting in light of this, and looking at all this stuff prophetically and the Antichrist and all that, is that all the pieces are coming together. And I think that we're going to see more and more things, you know, that come together as we get closer to the very end. A lot of things we didn't understand. Daniel chapter 12 says that our knowledge will increase. And it's not just talking about knowledge such as computers and all the explosion of knowledge we have now, but knowledge even about the end times. God's going to be revealing more and more and more. And so it is interesting days that we're living in. We need to be praying for our president. We need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for our world. And I want to give you one last encouragement before we shift gears and get to where I really wanted to go tonight. And that is this. Just because we see all these things happening, don't give up on America. It's easy to say, you know what, we see all these things happening. Why even pray anymore? Why even try? Everything's just going down the tubes. We have all these, you know, issues that are happening around the world with the global financial thing and all these things that we see the end wrapping up. Everything that God said was going to happen, we see happening. Hey, listen, would it be awesome to see God pour out a great revival in the last days in America? and have America on fire. And, you know, hey, once we're gone, the rapture, you know, takes place, then the world can go any direction it wants. But as long as we're still here and God is on the throne, we need to be lifting up our leaders. We need to be lifting up our nation and trusting in God to do the rest. So there was the answer to the teaser I gave you. And just neat stuff. Why don't we, again, we'll look at our Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Last week, we just did the first four verses there, working up through Jonathan and seeing David and their love they had for one another. We start in chapter 18, verse 5 tonight. We're only going to be covering verses 5 through 9, but let's read it together, and then we'll jump into it. Notice, so David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of the cities in Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they've ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Tonight we're looking at principles of advancement in God's kingdom. You know, in the world, that when you want to advance in the world, there are certain principles you do, and that is you basically try to work yourself to death, but you also usually try to step on everybody you can on the way to the top. It's not that way in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, we typically come in so full of pride, we have to work our way down to the people's feet around us that we can wash them. And then once God gets us down off our high horse, as he knocks Saul literally off his horse, and he does us and whatever he has to do, then God can begin to use us and we can begin to advance in God's kingdom. But the neat thing about those in the Bible that God used in great ways, they understood the principles of God. Now, whether or not they understood the principles of God because they had studied the Word of God, or whether or not they had good parental upbringing, or whether or not it was simply God's something God did in their heart, they need to understand that, and we need to as well. And so tonight we're going to be looking at several principles of how to advance in God's kingdom. You say, Lord, I want to be used greater. I want to walk in a greater way with God. I want to be used more. That's a good desire. Understand that. There's nothing wrong in wanting to be used in greater ways. Remember the prayer of Jabez. He said, Lord, expand my borders. You know, I pray that. Lord, expand my borders. We need to be praying. Lord, expand our borders. You know, the older I get, my borders are expanding a little bit more, but that wasn't the kind of expanding I was looking for. But God, expand my borders in the kingdom is what I mean. You got to be careful what you pray, because God hears it. But again, you'll notice those that God uses in Scripture are typically, they have similar character and similar principles. Now, when I say that, it doesn't mean that God picks all these people that have their act together. As a matter of fact, God picks people who are often usually falling apart. The foolish things of the world, right? To confound the wise. But when you look at the ones that God was able to use in greater ways, you'll find consistent principles in their life and consistent characteristics. And we're going to see these in David tonight. He wasn't perfect, and the men that God used are not perfect at all. And the women God uses are not perfect. But God wants us to understand those principles so that we can be used in greater ways. Because until we understand the biblical principles to be used in greater ways, we're going to be stagnant and we're going to be stuck. It's interesting, again, as I said, the world has their ways of doing things. In the October 1981 issue of Reader's Digest, a man wrote this. He said, noting that a business acquaintance who seemed to have only average abilities had moved up rapidly in his company to become a vice president, I asked him his secret to success. He told me that it was quite simple. Not long ago, he said, after I started my first job, I got the name of an excellent executive recruiter, and I gave my boss's name to that recruiter, who lured him away from our firm. And then I assumed his position while he was gone on vacation. I now do that at every company I work for. And eventually, his boss was gone so much, he kind of took the boss's place, and they said, you know what? The boss got hired. Why don't you? You've been doing his job. Just keep on doing it. Now, I don't suggest that. But again, the world has a way of advancing. That's kind of a sneaky way. God's way of advancing is very different. And so again, David obviously observed the wisdom that his parents gave him around him. And that's what we're going to see in these principles tonight. Well, let's jump into it. Notice David went out, it says in verse 5. And notice this, he went out wherever Saul sent him. Now remember, he's just defeated Goliath, the battle of the Philistines. And he defeated Goliath. He's now been brought to Saul. Saul loves him. Jonathan loves him at this point, and Saul's not going to love him very much very soon. Matter of fact, in just a few verses, isn't it amazing? Just a few verses away, he's going to hate him. But again, at this point, Saul really loves him. And so he's going to put David in charge of his military men, we're going to see tonight. He's going to advance David. But there's certain reasons that God advances him. And right here, notice, it says, wherever Saul went or sent him, he behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now, again, this verse is loaded. David at this point becomes, notice, a personal official an ambassador for Saul. And why did he become a personal official and ambassador for Saul? He did what he was asked and he did it right. And we're going to see about David's life. David was faithful and loyal to the end. So David did what he was told and he was faithful and loyal to the one that God had put over him. Even when Saul turned bad, this is what amazes me about David. Even when Saul turned bad and turned on David, David remained faithful to him. You know, one of the most amazing portions of scripture to me is that after Saul chased him in the wilderness all these years, chased him all over the wilderness. I mean, tried to kill him numerous times. I mean, threw a spear at him a couple times and chased him down through the desert. All this, when he died, what did David do? David wept. And David said, a great man of Israel has died. That is a faithful heart. That is a man of character. That is a man of principle. I bring it even more. That is a man who understands the principles of advancement in the kingdom of God. And it goes so against our nature, it's hard for many of us to ever find it. I know it is for me. You know, my nature is if somebody does me wrong, they step on your foot, you want to stomp theirs back, right? And typically, if they stomp it, you want to stomp it harder than they did. If they cut you off, you want to pass them and slow down to almost stop, right? It's our nature. We have this thing in us that's just this stinky nature. David was an amazing man. And notice it says first that David went wherever Saul sent him. And this shows that David, again, was a servant. But he also understood authority and how God had set it up. In other words, by submitting to and obeying the authority that God had put over him, he knew in reality that he was really submitting and obeying who? God. Guys, this is so important. This brings us to our first principle of advancement in the kingdom, and that is this, servanthood. If we don't learn to be servants of each other, we will never be advanced in God's kingdom. We will be saved. We will be in heaven. But if we don't learn to be a servant, we will never be advanced in God's kingdom. And so the first thing is to be a servant. And you know, the thing about our society is becoming a servant doesn't come naturally. We like to be served. We're Americans. You know, we want everyone to serve us. And yet God says, I want you to serve everyone else. I want you to be the one that's the servant. Again, it doesn't come natural, but this is the first principle. Jesus said in Matthew 20:26, whoever desires to become great among you, let him what? Be your servant. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, he tells you how. You know, I love it. The Lord didn't say, you want to be great? Well, you're just a loser. Forget you. He said, you want to be great? All right, hold on. I'll tell you how. I'll help you to be great. It's not wrong to desire to be great. The problem is you don't understand the path to greatness. I'll teach you the path to greatness. Be a servant. Watch me and what I do. I wash people's feet. I serve others. That's what the Lord was saying. Jesus was telling that. Watch me, he said. You'll see me. And to the very end, he washed their feet and he took care of them. And so the very first principle we know that is we have to be a servant. And notice he went wherever. No matter what he asked David to do, he did it. You ever had your boss ask you to do something that you feel like is a little bit beneath you? You know, I have people, I would say on a regular basis, it's been a while since it happened, but on a regular basis throughout the ministry that'll come up and say, well, you know, I can't find a job or I can't get work and this kind of thing. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, have you tried everything? Yes, I've tried everything and this kind of thing. And I know work can be hard to find sometimes. I understand that. But you know what? And don't take this wrong. McDonald's is always hiring. And yet how many of you, when I said that, would go, well, McDonald's. I was an engineer. From engineers to Big Macs, I think not. Let me tell you something. When you and your family are hungry, Big Macs being slapped together work great. And when I hear people say that, I don't have a great amount of sympathy. Don't get me wrong. I pray and I do have sympathy, but I can remember, you know, growing up, you know, being single and again, doing the whole thing, you know, and probably even in Scott's past, he can associate with some of this, you know, going to Nashville, trying to make it in music and living in this apartment with no furniture and, you know, just wonder where am I going to get my next meal? And I found that, you know, when you really want to find work, you can find it and you can do something. You can sweep a floor somewhere. You can make a burger. You can do whatever. But so many people think, well, that's beneath me. I'm not going to do it. We need to be able to humble ourselves and say, God, I'll do whatever you open up for now. And then whenever I find what it is you've really helped me to do or trained me to do, then I'll do that later. And so there's a humility that has to be there. And it's a servant. And I'll tell you what, if God allows you to be in a place of humility like that in servanthood, there's great training in that. It's training for the kingdom. And that way, when God does advance you, and maybe things are good in the kingdom, and maybe in finances, and maybe in the world, whatever, God, if he blesses you in that way, now you're a servant in the world. You ever run across somebody who's really rich and snooty, and somebody who's rich and a servant? You ever seen the difference? I've seen people that you had no idea. These people are like serving you, and they're just the sweetest thing and nice, and they're doing everything for you, and you're thinking, wow, this is so nice, and you find out they're millionaires. It's like, where did you come from? They understand it. You see, they get it. And then you see people who want to be millionaires. And they act like millionaires, but they're nowhere near it. And they're rude. And they're crude. They don't understand it. They're never going to advance in the kingdom of God. Again, finances has nothing to do with it, but I'm using this as an example. But again, we first have to be a servant. That's your first principle. Number two is in the same verse here. The second principle is almost as important when it comes to advancing in the kingdom of God. And that is this. If we don't understand and submit to this principle, we'll never be greatly used for God's glory. And that is coming under authority. And understanding what it means to come under authority. Now, in our culture, this is tough. We grew up in America where nobody's going to tell me what to do. Right? Then you're never going to advance in the kingdom of God. Because until you get to the place where you say, God, whoever you put over me is going to tell me what to do. And I'll say, yes, sir, and no, ma'am. Well, not necessarily. You get my point. I'll be obedient. No, you'll say yes, ma'am, too. I'm just used to hearing my kids at home, all right? Just kidding. But guys, it's been said that no one can lead until they first learn to follow. The game, follow the leader, that's the way to greatness in God's kingdom. Follow the leader. I was an assisting pastor for about 5 years before we came out and started this fellowship. And I've talked to other pastors that were assistant pastors as well that had become senior pastors. And you know what? That is a much better gig. And I'll tell you why. Number one, all the heat doesn't fall on you when something goes wrong. I'm just the messenger, man. I'm just kind of serving him. You know, you go talk to the man or whatever. But number two, you know, it's a lot easier serving someone else when you know it's not dependent on what you do for the outcome. There's a freedom in that. And there's a joy in following and letting other people lead. And I think unless God pushes you to the front and says, be a leader, you shouldn't be. But if God makes you, then you better do it. But it's a lot better place to be below someone else and let them do it. And that principle is truly the principle of greatness. You know, we think about Pastor Chuck and Romaine. You guys have heard us talk maybe some about Romaine in the past. Served Pastor Chuck for many years in California. This man is a man who understood greatness and he understood coming under authority. I don't have time to get into all of his testimony and his witness, but the bottom line is that we have to learn how to follow before we can ever be a leader. And there's a lot of people that want to be leaders before they ever learn to follow. And if they do that, they'll never be great in the kingdom of God. Because it takes learning to be that in that place of humility. God will never advance a man who hasn't first learned to submit to and work under authority. Note that. Or a woman. He'll never advance you until you learn to submit to and come under authority. In a pride-filled and independent society like America, this is a real challenge. Now, some cultures naturally, you know, have that. You go to some cultures and they just naturally have this kind of humble approach. It's just what their culture is. We have the double whammy in America because that is not the approach in America. That is not our natural bent here in this nation. So we have to kind of really work on that one. You know, maybe you've seen the bumper sticker that says question authority. You ever seen that? They don't have it as much around here as they did out west when I lived there. But question authority. Guys, that is exactly the opposite of what you've got to do if you want to be great in the kingdom of God. You've got to come under authority. But it doesn't make as powerful of a statement, I guess, on your bumper. You know, come under authority. A lot of people wouldn't like that. But it's the exact opposite of what the world would say. And why is this? Because it is through authorities that God brings order and direction to our lives. Notice that. God brings order and direction to our lives by the authorities that he puts in our life. Order in that there must be an organized structure or else there's chaos. You ever been in a situation where everybody wants to be the one making the decisions? It's chaos. It just can't work. So there has to be order, and so God sets it up that way. And also, it gives us direction, and that we see as God, we don't see rather as God sees, and so we need instruction. That's why God calls us sheep. All of us are sheep. I'm a sheep too. We're all sheep. We all look to the shepherd, don't we? Because none of us can see where we're going without looking to him. And so that's coming under that authority. You know, it's interesting, when you talk about coming under authority, guys, even Jesus came under authority. He was God. Now, note this. Here's God. God comes to the earth in the form of a human. If there's anyone that didn't need to come under authority, it was him. And yet it's interesting to me that Jesus said in John 12:49, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that what I should say and what I should speak." In other words, I only do what he tells me to do and I only say what he tells me to say. This is God in human form. And I look at that and go, you know what? If God comes under authority as a human on this earth, because that's how God has set the structure up, how much more should I come under authority? I need to be a man under authority. You need to be a man or a woman under authority. That's how God has set the structure up. And it works that way. And again, oftentimes we tend to think that maybe somehow we're out from under that. But if Jesus wasn't, we're not either. I want you to turn with me and we're going to come back so you can keep your finger there in 1 Samuel. Go to Romans chapter 13. And we may only cover this verse tonight. We'll see. Plan on going farther, but depends on how much time we have. Because this is such an important principle in advancement in the kingdom of God, coming under authority. Notice what it says in Romans 13. I'm going to read the first five verses. Notice verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So notice the principle. God appoints the authorities. God gives that position there. And so God has a plan for doing that. Therefore, note this, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. You know, when we're fighting against mom and dad, we're fighting against the boss, we're fighting against the police, you know, go catch the real criminals, you know, instead of writing me a ticket. None of you have ever said that, I know. Guys, who are we resisting? We're resisting the Lord. It's not the person we're resisting. He says you're resisting the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what's good and you'll have praise from the same. You know, remember, you know, some of you guys that maybe didn't walk with the Lord your whole life, and maybe you were out doing things you shouldn't be doing and you were driving and a policeman pulled up behind you. Remember that feeling? Just be cool, man. You know, don't do anything stupid, no sudden moves, you know, and whatever, right? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. The ones giggling are the ones from the rougher backgrounds. But you know what was sweet when I came to the Lord? When I came to the Lord, you know what was sweet? A cop pulled behind me and was like, oh, praise the Lord, man, it's the police. Safer around here. Catching all those guys doing things they shouldn't be doing in their cars right now. I love that. You know? But the bottom line is, guys, I was unafraid. See, I was afraid of authority when I was living in sin. When I came to Christ, authority was my friend. That's how it works. It changes over. And so he says, you want to be unafraid of authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Notice this, for he is God's minister to you for good. You think, I never thought about getting a ticket as being good. But you know what? God may have just saved your life. Yeah, we get mad because it costs us $100 and, you know, how do you negotiate the flash in the camera when that comes back with your picture on it? You know, you're kind of busted, right? How do you do that? You can't get out of it. You know, I didn't really do it. There's your picture, you know. But you know what? It may have just, you know, spared you from some accident down the road or when a cop pulled you over. He says, look, this is, again, I'm using the cop illustration. There's a lot of different ones, but he's God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. You should be afraid, he's saying, if you're doing evil. For he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. So it's not just so you won't get in trouble, but also so you have a clear conscience. Now let's flip back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. So notice it gives order and it gives direction, it gives protection, and we see how God has ordained authority in our life. And again, even Jesus, when he took on human form and became a man, he himself, you know, came under the authorities that be. And so I've learned over the years that if I come under the authorities that God puts over me, notice this, even when they are wrong. Here's what I've learned. You ready? I'm going to start that over. I've noticed the years that I've walked with the Lord that if I come under the authorities that he's put over me, even when they are wrong, he still blesses me because I'm obeying him. Note that, Christian. Even if your authority is wrong, even if your authority is treating you unfairly, if you will come under that authority and say, God, I leave them in your hands, you deal with it, but I'm going to do what you've asked me to do, God will bless you. It's one of his principles. It's in his word. And it's a principle to advancement in the kingdom. What does the scripture say? Hey, if you only obey those that are good to you, what good is that? You know, you have to come under those that even are harsh to you. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. Note this. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Wow. That one stings, doesn't it? That means when everyone else is in the break room talking about the boss, there's two things you can do. Either get out of there or say, you know what, guys, this isn't cool. He's doing the best he can. You got two options. But to join in on the fray, again, we're going against the Lord when we do that. Even if the guy's wrong, even if we don't agree, God will use it, God will bless it, and turn their hearts in a different way when necessary. You leave that up to God to turn their hearts, and God will be faithful to do that. Now, let me just say this, because we need to now cover our bases. Does this mean that we always do everything our authorities tell us no matter what? I've heard some people say, well, then you better do everything your authorities say. Wrong. Wrong. That is not true. There is a time when you don't obey your authorities, and there's a time when you don't come under your authorities. And when is that time? Whenever your authorities tell you to go against the word of God. At that point, you say, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. If your mom and dad ask you to do something, you know, maybe some of you guys saw the on the news the other day, this guy that took his daughter to go, you know, if I was going to rob someplace, I don't think I'd take the girls. Give me your money, bitch. Hey, stop that. Don't leave her. Tolly, still leave her alone. Go on, get the money, man. Hey. What's that? Honestly, he took his daughter with him to rob a store. And she's standing there just kind of, I don't know, you know. I mean, she probably's like, Dad, could you throw in a candy bar? I don't know what she was doing. Not a wise thing to do, but that's when you say, no, I can't do that. Sometimes your wives, they'll be married to an unbelieving husband, and the unbelieving husband will ask them to go to a bar to drink with him or whatever and say, do I need to do that because I need to be submissive to my husband? No! Because God is a higher authority. And God says drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. And not to partake in other people's sins. You don't have to do that. Now, there's wisdom in the way you turn that offer down, especially if your husband is violent. But at the same time, you do not have to obey. If you're in a situation where your boss asks you to do something at work that's not above board, you don't have to do that. And you're not being disobedient to the Lord. So I think you understand the principle. There are times when we say no, there are exceptions, and we need to understand those. But a lot of times we kind of, you know, maybe come up with our own exceptions because we just don't like it. Otherwise, we're to come under that authority. Even if we don't like it, even if we don't think it's fair. But if it's not against God's word, then we're to be obedient to those and let God mold. Because here's what God's doing. God's molding and shaping, gang. He's doing a work. And so we need to let him do the work. And this is the one that kills me. You ready for this? Not just being obedient. God stresses even the attitude that we should have with our authorities. Okay, it's one thing to say, all right, I'll be obedient. But man, you know, I got an attitude big time. And I deserve this attitude because this stinks at this job. I'll do it. I did it, man. I stacked all the boxes like the man said. Better hope I never see him in a dark alley, though, you know? Listen to what Ephesians 6:6 says. This is heavy, guys. You ready? Here's how we're to obey our authorities. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, not pretending that you really like them and you don't. But as bondservants of Christ. Who are you doing it for? For Christ, aren't you? Wives, when you submit to your husband, even if he's not worthy to be submitted to, who are you doing it for? Not your husband. You'll never do it if it's for your husband. You're doing it for Christ. Gang, at your workplace, if your boss is rude and crude and all these other things, and you submit to him, who are you doing it for? Him? No. You're doing it for Christ. And that's where the motivation comes in, and that's how we can be obedient and have the right heart. He said, as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God, and here's the clincher, from the heart. Wow. In other words, I don't like this place. I don't like my boss. I don't like doing this job, but I'm going to do it. And Lord, I ask that you give me the best attitude possible. It's okay to go to the Lord and say, I don't have this in me. I can't do this. I don't have the ability to do this. It's beyond me. But God, you can do it because you've asked me to. So God, give me your Holy Spirit. I'm going again today, and this is what I'm using. I've got to feed my family. I've got to pay the bills. I've got to do this. Now give me not only the ability to do it and do it in a submission and obedience, but to do it with a right heart. That's the key here. There's the first two principles, servanthood and coming under authority. What's the third principle? The third principle of advancing in God's kingdom is behaving wisely. And I can probably already tell you, we're only going to get through this first verse, but that's all right. The third principle of advancing in God's kingdom is behaving wisely. Notice what it says there again. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of the people and of Saul's servants. So again, notice it says that not only did David go wherever Saul sent him, but he went and behaved wisely. Now, what does it mean to behave wisely? I was reading that thing, and I've read this for years, but I've never done a study on this. I read passing, well, David just behaved wisely. What does it mean? It's interesting what it means. The words behave wisely come from the word sakal, and it means an intelligent knowledge of the reason. It is the process of thinking through a complex arrangement of thoughts, resulting in a wise dealing and use of good, practical, common sense. So what he's saying is, he was reasoning through everything that Saul was asking him to do, and he was deciding, what is the best way I can do it? How can I put this together in the most practical, common sense way and do everything that my boss has asked me to do and bring it to success in a way that it will please my boss? And the meaning also goes on to say what one considers or pays attention to. And I kind of summed it up in an overall definition, putting all that together. In other words, note this, David thoroughly thought situations through. Then he used intelligent knowledge and reason in those situations to work through complex arrangements of thought while considering and paying close attention to what he was doing, which resulted in wise dealings and good practical common sense. Now that's a mouthful, but bottom line is, David said, all right, here's what my task is at hand. I got to think through this and think the best way I can do it, the most logical way I can do it. And no doubt David was saying, God, give me wisdom in how to do this, because I can't do this. You know, I was reading this today and I was thinking, Lord, all these things I just read that David was doing, I'm not sure is me. But I want it to be. So help me now to do this. Help me to learn to take all the thoughts and to complex, you know, ideas, put everything together with intelligence and reason. Intelligence part of my part may be hard, but with reason and all the other things, and bring it together to where there's going to be a good conclusion to it. God will help us do that. That's what David was doing. And so when David did this, God was blessing him. And notice the result of it. Because of that, it says he set him over his men of war. He was advanced in the kingdom. The earthly kingdom, and we're going to see, obviously, as king in the heavenly kingdom. So he was advanced. But notice this, whenever you follow these principles that David applied in his service to Saul, there were also results to these principles. So I don't want to just give you the principles. I wanted you to note here in this verse the results. The first result of David applying these principles was that Saul set him over his men of war. Notice that. That is, he lifted him up and advanced him in his responsibilities because he proved himself faithful. Because David took the job seriously, applied himself, thought it through, did the best he could to be pleasing to Saul. Saul said, you know what? Not only are you faithful, or not only do you do a good job, but you're faithful. I'm going to give you more responsibility. Here's the point. If we don't take direction and do as we're told with what we currently have, we can't be trusted to take direction and do as we're told with greater responsibility. First, we have to prove ourselves in the small things. The Bible says he who is faithful in the small things will also be faithful in the larger things. So we have to prove ourselves in that area first. And that's, you know, again, there's a scripture that God has used a lot in my life, and that is, don't despise the days of small things. And it's easy to despise that and say, man, I wish more was happening. I wish God was using me more. I wish this and I wish that. He says, whoa, whoa, back up now, Mark, back up. Take what I've given you. Prove to me you can be faithful with that first. And when I see you're faithful with that, I'll give you more. But why, if your kids couldn't be faithful with the responsibilities you give them to begin with, why would you give them more freedoms? Why would you give more to your kids if they can't handle what you're giving them? They can't get in bed on time. Why would you let them go out with their friends or do an overnighter? The point is, they have to show themselves faithful to you first. And then they can have more freedoms and responsibilities. Well, God treats us the same way as his kids. He says, show yourself faithful, and then I'll do that. What is the second result here of David applying these principles? Notice here it says he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the eyes of Saul's servants. So he was accepted in both. That is, because David behaved wisely, God gave him favor, and not only the people loved him, his authorities and the governing officials loved him as well. David was advanced because he understood the principle of serving, and he understood the principle of coming under authority. And guys, the results were God began to advance him. But I would leave us with this tonight. Let's make sure that we are understanding at least these first two principles tonight, and that is servanthood and coming under authority. That's the place that God wants to start. You want to be used in greater ways? Ask yourself tonight as we end, God, am I being a servant? Lord, am I coming under authority? And believe me, if it's not starting in the home, it's not going to be anywhere else. So make sure in the home that we're doing that. And that would be husbands. Are you coming under the authority of the Lord to lead your home in the ways of God? Wives, are you coming under your husband as the leader of the home? Children, are you coming under your parents as the leaders of the home and ruling over you? Because if we can't pass those basic tests at home, then God can't use us in greater ways. My desire is that we would get it, understand it, apply it, and then watch what God does from there. Let's pray and ask him to help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, that's our desire tonight. We want to get it, Lord. We want to understand what it means to be a servant. We hear it. We know that you said to be the greatest is to be a servant. And yet, Lord God, we typically like to be served. I mean, if there's somebody to run downstairs and get a glass of water, it's typically somebody else we want to do it. If there's an item to be picked up, we typically want someone else to pick that item up. If there's something to be done, whatever the case might be, we typically want someone else to do it. That's our nature. Lord, help us to overcome our nature and to become like you. Make us servants. Help us to be not only the first one to do it, but to be looking for opportunities to serve so that you might advance us in the kingdom. And Lord, I pray as well for the situation of authorities in our life. Well, it's very easy to reject authority and to fight against authority and Lord, we know that doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything they say. And certainly, Lord, it doesn't mean in our day and age that we don't speak the truth when our authorities are speaking false. But we know this, Lord, we need to learn to come under those authorities and submit to the authorities you put over us if we're ever going to be advanced in the kingdom. And Lord, that'll start in the earthly realm before it can ever be moved to the spiritual realm. So help us, God, to be those that not only understand it, but do it. And Lord, we know that the results will come. Even as David was then put over the men of war, advanced to be used in greater ways. And even as David, Lord, experienced favor with the people and favor with those that you put over him, Lord, we too will experience the same thing if we will simply understand and apply these biblical principles. And God, we ask you to help us to do it in humility. And of course, Lord, you know we'll be looking at that next week. But Father, I pray that you'd help us to begin to work on these and to begin to challenge ourselves in our heart tonight. Are we a servant? And that is challenging us right now as we're praying. Ask yourself that. Am I a servant? And Lord, if we're not servants, make us servants. Am I coming under authority? And if I'm not coming under authority, Lord, help me to come under authority. And not just come under it, but to come under it with a good heart. Lord, not with eye service as pleasers of men, but Lord, with a pureness from the heart to do it for you. And we thank you, Lord, that you give your spirit to make it possible, because if you didn't give your spirit to make it possible, there would be no chance. God, fill us with your spirit and use us this week for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.